Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, it finally happened. There's finally someone from the Obama administration who actually says the Iraq war was worth it. We know most of them have obviously said, and it is obviously true, that the sacrifices and the performance of our forces in Iraq have been heroic and beyond what anyone could have anticipated. But ever since the president came on the scene in just launching his Senate campaign back in 2002, he called it a dumb war. Everything he said up until and through his speech at Fort Bragg on Wednesday was the war is over. You know, congratulations for sticking to the Bush timetable. We're all happy about that, except for the generals who wanted to keep some troops there. He never would say that it was worth it. He said he would leave that to the historians. And finally today in Iraq, as the colors were retired and the war officially came to an end, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta finally said it was worth it.
The cost was high. The blood and treasure of the United States, and also for the Iraqi people. But those lives have not been lost in vain. They gave birth to an independent, free, and sovereign Iraq.
Was that really so hard? Did it really need to take 9 years for someone in this administration, or really 2.5 to 3 years since they actually took office, to admit that the Iraq war was worth it when you consider removing a genocidal dictator and defeating al-Qaeda there and so forth? It's good to see that at least one person understands what happened there.
It is. I remember back in the 90s, National Review did a profile of Barry McCaffrey, the retired general who was the drug czar in the Clinton administration. And they called him the MVP of the Clinton administration. Obviously, if you're on the right in Bill Clinton's team, you're not going to see a lot of folks who you're really going to be a big fan of. But, you know, that McCaffrey seemed to be executing policy as best he could in his role. I would nominate Leon Panetta as the MVP of the Obama administration from where we sit. I think he actually turned out to be a surprisingly effective CIA director in his years there. I was among those who was kind of skeptical of him in that role, thought this was kind of a strange political appointee, but he did a good management job in terms of, you know, what we know and you know, what we hear through the grapevine. Obviously, the OBL kill was on his watch. And now he's at the Pentagon. And again, it was kind of an unexpected role, an unexpected nominee. And here he is. And I think he recognizes, I think he understands the need to represent those who are working under him as well as possible to the administration. And this means, you know, recognizing their sacrifice and not letting them be dismissed or downplayed or you know, ill spoken of. I'm thinking back to when Nancy Pelosi had said on Capitol Hill that the CIA lies to congressmen all the time. And he said, you know, and publicly rebuked her for that comment. So Panetta, you know, look, there's not a lot for us to cheer about in the Obama administration. Panetta might be one of those guys. Now, this is not a blanket endorsement of every decision he ever makes in this role. But when he, you know, comes out and says things like this, I think we really do should be giving him some applause and a pat on the back and some attaboys, and maybe hopefully we'll get a little bit more of this.
Yeah, two of the tougher jobs, and like you said, certainly compared to his colleagues in other parts of the administration, comes off as more competent than the others, and at least has a sense of reality. So congratulations on that, and again, thank you to our troops for everything you've done and to their families who supported them. The president, meanwhile, is sticking to his narrative, not only on the Iraq war, but also as it pertains to the economy. From time to time, the president lets local reporters from different cities across the country, for the most part swing states that he would like to carry once again in 2012, come to the White House. He gives them 10, 15 minutes, and they talk about whatever the reporters want to talk about. And the president usually gives really long answers, so they only get to ask one or two questions in those 15 minutes. Well, this reporter from WVEC asks a pretty good question, which I think earns him a spot above just about everybody else at the White House press corps. And the president, unfortunately, gives a very tired answer.
Do you take any personal responsibility for your administration creating that condition?
Well, we didn't create the condition. We haven't solved it fully yet because it was 3 decades in the making. I mean, if you look at the trend lines, essentially what's happened is that because of automation, because of globalization, you had a lot of manufacturing move out of the United States. Businesses got more efficient. They needed fewer workers. They had more leverage over workers.
So, Jim, it's very interesting how those dastardly ATMs and airport kiosks keep popping up to ruin this economic recovery. And I find it interesting that when President Bush was in office, we were exporting jobs. And, you know, it was just this horrible trend that was going on. Now, it's globalization. What can you do, man? I guess we're trying as hard as we can.
Nothing is ever his fault, is it, Greg?
No.
Nothing, you know, it's always somebody else. It's always... during the campaign, we used to laugh at how often the staff was generally blamed for these things. I used to joke that the message of every politician was, I am responsible for all good things in the world, and I am not to blame for all bad things in the world. And I meant it as satire. I meant it as parody. For Obama team, it seems like it's advice. It really does seem to be, you know, that whenever things go right, they're quick to take credit for it. When things go wrong, oh, it's not, it's headwinds, it's global, you know. Now, are we in a global economy, and could, you know, troubles from Europe be affecting the U.S.? Sure, sure. But I just can't understand how he can look at all of the policies he's enacted and say all of their effects have been good. There have been no consequences. We haven't terrified the business community. People aren't afraid of tax hikes. They're not afraid of health premiums going up. They're not afraid of energy costs increasing. I think that it kind of says a bit about a lack of maturity. The guy who is always supposedly so intellectual and nuanced can't see any nuance in his own actions and can't see unforeseen consequences. To believe Obama, we are precisely where he wanted us to be because he doesn't really think there's anything he would have done differently. You know, he's turned into Jack Nicholson. This is as good as it gets.
What was it on 60 Minutes where he basically said that he'll put his administration up against anyone in history, and with the possible exception of Lincoln, FDR, and Lyndon Johnson, he'd put his record up against anyone's, which basically means he wants government taking a lot more authority. Lincoln's was a special case in the Civil War, but of course FDR and Johnson just rapidly expanded the size of government, and apparently Obama doesn't think he's quite caught up to them yet. So if he gets a second term, folks, we're going to have a lot of fun with that, I'm sure. On to martini number three now, and MSNBC is so ludicrously liberal and perhaps even further to the left than that, that they could occupy the third martini slot every day, but we only reserve it for them on very special occasions, and I think this is one of them. MSNBC, during the 11 o'clock Eastern Time hour, made this little reference to a new slogan that the Romney campaign had been using about wanting to make America American again. MSNBC, of course, rifling through whatever they could to somehow tar the Romney campaign as a result of using that slogan, came up with this. Here's Thomas Roberts.
All right, so you might not hear Mitt Romney say, keep America American anymore. That's because it was a central theme of the KKK in the 1920s. It was a rallying cry for the group's campaign of violence and intimidation against blacks, gays, and Jews. The progressive blog, America Blog, was the first to catch on to that.
So clearly that's what Mitt Romney was going after there, discrimination, because MSNBC only sees things one way. But you know it's bad, Jim, when you get this from Chris Matthews later in the day.
We're back. During the 11 a.m. hour on MSNBC today, we reported on a blog item that compared a phrase used by the Romney campaign to one used by the KKK way back in the 1920s. It was irresponsible and incendiary of us to do this, and it showed an appalling lack of judgment. We apologize, we really do, to the Romney campaign.
Jim, I think appalling lack of judgment should be the new slogan at MSNBC instead of moving forward or place for politics. Appalling
Lean
lack of
forward
ju-
with an appalling lack of judgment. I like that. Greg. You know, I suppose we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, one of the things that it's interesting, you could see folks on the right kind of, you know, groaning about this from Romney. Keep America American. What does that really mean? I'm sure there's a lot of folks who feel good about it. I think to a lot of conservatives, it would say, oh, okay. Obama is trying to turn us into Europe or Greece or some sort of, you know, change us from the America we knew and grew up with and, you know, create us into this super state, you know, form. You know, lots of conservatives don't like that. Lots of Americans don't like that. However, the way Mitt expresses it, keep America American, is so generic you could mean anything. And, you know, it's not surprising that it was adopted by all kinds of different groups. The idea that, you know, somehow Romney is making a dog whistle argument to closet racists or something by saying keep America keep America American is ridiculous. I mean, if they really want to play that game, we can point out that Barack Obama plagiarized his rallying cry from Bob the Builder. Now, I would like Obama if he had little anthropomorphic construction equipment driving around, and, you know, then he could say, yes, we can, you know. You know, that would kind of – I'm picturing this little big-eared – happy little figure coming around. It is Obama, come to think of it. Wow, it's Obama the Builder. Anyway, so the idea is that, you know, look, a lot of campaigns have very generic slogans, and it's not surprising that somebody uses some of this stuff. You know, catch the wave, you know, somebody could say, and that's, you know, basically Coca-Cola from a couple of years back. So, I mean, you know, the choice of a new generation could have been Obama's slogan. Lo and behold, that was Pepsi. So a lot of these phrases don't necessarily mean anything, and the idea that you can, you know, score a cheap shot on Romney or anybody else is not all that shocking or surprising. The idea that MSNBC would have, as Matthew said, such an appalling lack of judgment to think that was, you know, worthy of airtime, look, you know, it doesn't really surprise either of us. It's you know, it just kind of shows this is what MSNBC has turned into. I mean, if you can turn the words Romney and Klan in the same sentence, they will take that opportunity and, you know, hope that enough people are just have the channel on as background noise. So that people get, you know, develop that association in their heads and decide that they, for some reason, they don't like Mitt Romney. Right. It probably won't work. When Chris Matthews has to come out and rap you on the knuckles, that's pretty glaring. But, you know, that's what we've come to expect.
Yeah, that's true. Fortunately, almost nobody watches MSNBC, so even at the background noise, it's not likely to sway too many minds. Biggest difference, though, Jim, between Bob the Builder and President Obama, with Bob the Builder, the jobs actually are shovel-ready, even if they are with plastic shovels. So we'll have to leave it there. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day, Jim.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.